Wake Up with Finch and Kane is live on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And good morning to Wake Up with your host, Bill Finch, here, and my lovely co-host, Melissa Katz-Kane, who is on assignment doing research for a future show. She's calling in. We're so excited to see what she comes up with.
From an unidentified location in the field, Bill. Good morning.
But as always, if you are tired, good morning, and feeling worn and weary, but after yesterday's No King's Day, feeling empowered. 1 hour every Sunday morning, Connoisseur Media allows Melissa and I this hour, along with our banned book expert, Victoria Woodard, to bring you guests who provide not only the information you need, but a patriotic, full-throated endorsement of the pillars of American democracy and red meat for the ideals that built this great nation. And by the way, those are Antifa ideals, anti-fascist ideals. And we're so proud that every day we're joined by exciting guests. Melissa?
Yeah, I'm right here, and I am feeling the same energy you are. What a week from the press walkout of the Pentagon to yesterday. I mean, it really feels good to be pushing it back against this last 10 months of, like, the consistent chipping away of our democratic institutions and intensifying of retribution and political violence. And you know what I say? What I say to Bill and to our listeners, if you are like me and you feel that our government and our country are almost unrecognizable right now, well, then you are in the right place, because this isn't a drill. And we need to do more of what we were doing yesterday. We need to be standing up for what's right and for the rule of law. We need to be the peaceful and persistent resistance where we are standing up for our civil rights, our voting rights, our reproductive rights, the right to free and fair elections, to an independent media and academic freedom. And we've got amazing guests on this show. That's why I love this show, because we need to stay informed in order to do this. And this Sunday is no exception. Bill, can you tell us who we have with us waking up here this morning?
Listen, you know, as an elected official, it's always it's a two-edged sword, right? You have the free media, the free press, and, yeah, and the strong media, but they can be critical. So as a person who had been reported on, you sometimes feel like, oh my God, do they hate me? What's going on? They're saying these things that aren't true. But you realize over time that it's the only thing saving us from authoritarianism is a free judiciary and free press. And thank God we have both. Every day I get up at the consternation of some of my closest people in my life, because it gets me riled up. And I read the New York Times. I read the New York Times, and what I see is this erosion of our rights, especially the attack on law firms, the attacks on an independent judiciary, the attacks on the free press. Neil Vignor is our guest, and Neil has been in the trenches reporting and sharing his beautiful photography for years and years and years. He's a homegrown kid made great. He's from Greenwich, Connecticut, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome to the show a man who I admire his integrity, and I admire his writing skills, and most of all, I admire his and his employer's total dedication to unabashed reporting, come hell or high water. Neil Vignor, welcome to the show this morning, Neil.
Thanks so much, Bill and Melissa, for that generous introduction, for having me on. Really a pleasure to join you. And we certainly had some interesting times with coverage back when you were mayor, and with all the political campaigns, and I still remember I have my Bill Finch Bluefish bobblehead in my bobblehead dog.
Still available online.
Just so our listeners know, before you were with the Times, you were with the
Hearst Media.
I was the statewide political writer for Hearst Connecticut Media, and I was at the Hartford Current after that. Got my start at the Stanford Advocate and Greenwich Time, and covered Connecticut politics for, gosh, well over 15, 20 years.
And an illustrious career so far, and only getting better every day as you now break major stories out of Washington and New York. We're going to get to some of those stories. I know Isabel in the production studio is waving. We're going to have to do our We had to pay for the show, so we're going to go to some ads right now. We'll be right back with Neil Vigdor of the New York Times. Honor and privilege to have him here.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Finch and Kane. WICC 600 and 95.9. The voice of Connecticut.
And welcome back to Wake Up, where we hope everyone wakes up to the tragedy that's going on around us and how important a free matter of free speech and free assembly and free press is, as we saw yesterday with the massive rallies of about 7 million people at 2,700 locations around the country, who I was at one, and we began the ceremony with singing the Star Spangled Banner, and it was a moving moment because how many athletic events have we gone to, and nobody sings, ever. Ever. I kind of mumble it.
Our event in Westport, Bill, we started with Susan Terry, who's a wonderful local singer and activist, singing, America's Beautiful. And it was so touching and moving. And we had a lot of music, a lot of song, a lot of protest songs. And it galvanizes people. It's wonderful. And a lot of flags. A lot of flags. I got to tell you, it brings me to my first question for our wonderful guest today, Neil Vigdor. And Neil, I know we want to get into talking about your recent investigative reporting, but I have to ask you, considering how important yesterday it was and the turnout that Bill was referring to of millions and millions and millions of Americans fighting for things like a free press. And I know that you do not create editorial policy for the New York Times, but can you comment on their coverage of these No Kings protests? I read somewhere it was easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than to find a story on the New York on No Kings on the New York Times homepage. I wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Well, Melissa, I mean, there is a pretty major story today that my colleague Karina Knoll had written about all the protests across the country. And, we had both staff writers and stringers out in different cities, Memphis, Philadelphia, San Francisco, London, all over, and in small towns. So there was pretty comprehensive coverage of it.
As they say, below the fold, right? I mean, you'd have to scroll down a little bit, and I'm not disagreeing. I appreciate that there was a very comprehensive coverage. I guess it just didn't really get the headline. I think that's what Bill and I were sort of wondering about.
Yeah, I can't really speak to in terms of the placement, but I do know that they dedicated significant resources to covering it, and as you said in the lead-in, 7 million people across the country was the estimate from organizers. In New York, I believe the estimate from the NYPD was that there were over 100,000 people. No incidents or anything like that.
Pretty amazing when you think about 7 million people. It's pretty amazing when you think about 7 million people with very, very, very low incidents of any violence whatsoever.
And, let me weigh in here just a second. Neil, let me just weigh in here for a second. I think what we're all sort of skirting around the edges here is we have a president who focuses and is extremely good on really major anti-democratic, bizarre behavior. I mean, the coverage of George Santos, one of the sleaziest people we could create in a test tube, right? And he's pardoned on the same day, and it receives equivalent coverage, right? Now, it probably should because it's the level of bizarre behavior from this administration and their actions sort of merits the lighting up of headlines. But yet, when the colonialists were fighting the redcoats, we had the same problem, right? There was media that were promoting the redcoats and downplaying the colonialists. And we obviously identify with the freedom fighters of early America trying to, stop a king from taking over power. Is it really this whole equivalency thing that's almost like a Achilles heel for the free press?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think certainly the George Santos commutation is a huge story, and started to break kind of late on Friday. My colleague, Michael Gold, who was one of the reporters who actually broke a lot of the stuff about him, fabricating huge elements and being this fabulous in terms of he had a story Friday night about the commutation. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, it's hard to say, how does it compare in terms of the coverage of the No Kings? I mean, certainly I would say that the Times has vigorously covered the opposition and the protests to the administration. Here's my journalist disclaimer and New York Times disclaimer. we reporters do not participate in demonstrations or protests, and it would be highly inappropriate for us to be participating in any No Kings demonstration. So, we're definitely covering it, and
we thank you for that. We really do.
Resources to it.
Right.
We thank you for that.
And that's a fair answer. I just want to switch maybe instead of turning 180, let's just switch 45 degrees here and say, let's talk a little bit about what happened this week in the Pentagon and how that affects media. What does that mean for media? What does that mean for the press? Well,
remind everybody what happened here, Neil.
Sure. So you have the Department of War, the Pentagon.
Sorry, that's where the audience laugh track comes in.
Coming up with the new policy that reporters who are assigned to the Defense Department can only report on what is officially signed off by the department, and that gathering of independent information is barred as part of that policy. And, en masse, you had all of the most of the political outlets that have a presence at the Pentagon basically walking out and saying, we're not going to do this. Interestingly, if you look at the list of news outlets, Fox News is one of them that has walked out. And I was even struck.
Was Newsmax on it?
Newsmax walked out, and so did the Daily Caller. And then you look and you see which one.
I think Alex Jones stayed behind.
Right, and I believe OAN and the Epoch Times and some of these, obscure kind of
true
right-wing
independent
media
journalism. Yeah.
I wonder, did the Washington Times, that's owned by the Moonies, did they walk out?
I believe they did, yes.
Well, there you go. It's how bad it's getting for Trump. When the right-wing cults are against him, he's in big trouble. Neil, I just got a funny aside to tell you before we're going to come up on a break again, unfortunately, at half past the hour. And we've got a little momentum here going on, but just to add a little levity, I was president of the student government at UConn way back in the ancient times, and we started our own independent newspaper. It was a weekly to compete with the longest-running newspaper in the United States on a college campus, the Daily Campus. So it's here for the UConn Huskies and their great journalism department. But they weren't covering certain events that we wanted to try to get people to come to. So it wasn't really journalistic competition as was most of the social calendar competition. But we changed our motto. We adapted your motto of all the news that's fit to print to all the news that's fit that fits we print. So whatever fit, we print. So I just wanted to tell the New York Times, somebody from the New York Times all my life, I wanted to tell them that we loved your slogan, but we just changed it a little bit.
I don't know. I kind of feel like they're living up to that slogan these days.
We lampooned. But listen, we've got so many issues that you're covering. We want to get to those. But let's just tease it out here before the break. We've had some things that you guys have covered where Alaska journalists all quit their newspaper. Now you're covering the Pentagon. You're covering the Chris Mills story. Do you see a commonality in all these stories where, we're shifting toward authoritarianism? Control of the press?
I'm kind of a little bit, reluctant to take that step. But, you know, certainly these things are troubling with you had four journalists in Alaska resign after the corporate owner of the community newspapers there unilaterally edited a story about a Charlie Kirk memorial. Didn't run it past the reporter who wrote the story or the editor who edited and approved the story. And, it's one thing. Certainly editors and newspapers can make changes to stories.
Of course.
But they should do it in a transparent way. And you run.
When you don't, all your reporters quit.
Right. You run into this huge problem when you make these unilateral changes and it just appears like you're caving to some elected official who complained about the story. And then, this state representative in Alaska who organized the vigil for Charlie Kirk, she sent a letter to the corporate owner saying the advertisers are going to boycott your papers. And so, you know, it gives the appearance that they're, you know, making a business decision here and upending the norms of journalism and really kind of going back to the reporter and going back to the editor and say, hey, we have a problem with the way this story was framed.
Well, listen, we're going to have to take a break, but I'm going to end on this quote from Winston Churchill, which I think is what we're all talking about, where he said that democracy was the absolute worst form of government, with a pregnant pause, except for everything else we've tried. And democracy's messy. And we're going to come back and talk about the messiness of the democracy here with our treasured guest here this morning from the New York Times, Connecticut's own Neil Vigdor. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't worry if you slept in. You're just in time for Wake Up with Finch and Kane. Now, on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And here we are, expressing our dissatisfaction with our government, petitioning our government with our grievances. And we're here supporting a free press and freedom of assembly and rights for all equally under a system of justice that's being compromised, and we're able to speak out against it. And what better to have than a highly acclaimed local boy made good who's writing stories every day, like the stories he's writing about Corey Mills. Tell us about this story.
Yeah.
You broke it.
No, I wouldn't. thank you.
Drum roll. You broke it. Drum roll, please. Yeah, you broke the story.
I did not break it,
take a bow. Take a bow.
Is a Republican congressman from Daytona Beach area, northeast of Orlando, and he's very MAGA. And this week, a woman that he had been that was his girlfriend for 3-4 years. Got a protective order granted against him by a judge in Florida. And when she broke up with Congressman Mills earlier this year, who I'm not sure, we don't know what his current marital status was, but he was married. He is alleged to have threatened her with revenge porn. And that, he texted her that he was going to send explicit videos of her to future boyfriends or men that she was dating. And so this woman, who is the reigning Miss United States, said that, she feared for her safety and that this was, cyber stalking, cyber harassment.
And the judge agreed with her, right? Right. Right, Neil, the judge.
And sadly, it's salacious, but it's not that unfamiliar a story in some way. Right.
And this is not the first time that there have been issues involving Representative Mills. Earlier this year, another woman that he has been involved with had called the police to his apartment in Washington, and there were some allegations of assault. And then, you know, a few days later, the woman said, oh, no, this was being politicized. And she kind of stood down. And so this woman who got the protective order, once she learned of that, that's when she ended the relationship with him.
All right, Neil, here's my question. And this is all, it's important information and it's upsetting information. But does it make any difference, right? As you said, very MAGA. He won his district by, I don't know, 56 to 43. I think the same margin as Trump won the whole state. Does this make a difference? What are his polling numbers now in his district? Do you know? Have you looked into that? Is there a Democratic challenger announced yet?
There is a Democratic challenger. I mean, my sense is that the way that the district's demographics are, I'm not sure this is going to really have a huge impact. I know that Mike Johnson, the speaker, was asked about this the other day, and he said, well, you have to ask him about what's going on in his life, and let's talk about things that are really serious.
You know, this really...
Right. I believe he said, doesn't need to focus on such unnecessary issues.
Yeah, I don't think...
Right. Yeah, I mean,
Melissa, you being a woman, I'm interested to know how that makes you feel.
Yeah. Well, that's a great... Listen, my being a woman, my being a person, I think when you find out that someone is a predator of any kind, that it should weigh in on, you know, whether you trust them to represent you in the United States Congress... I would think other people feel the same way, but as Neil said, this has been accused of being politicized, which is absurd, right?
Melissa, let me interrupt you for a second because we're going to run out of time, but let's set the record straight. We're both very active in the Democratic Party. We've been lifelong Democrats.
That's correct.
And Neil, just so you know, if it ever comes up in the story, you need a quote from either one of us, even though we're out of politics now and not running for office. We both have talked about this. If there are Democrats in the Epstein file, let it out. Let them sit in their own squalor. Let them sit in their own spit. If they did those terrible things to young girls, I don't care what party they are, they should come to justice.
Yeah. We're pretty clear on that, it seems like. And I would argue that the cynicism and nihilism of the Republican Party these days to just kind of push these things aside and keep pushing forward for the sake of MAGA is really telling.
And frankly, really, what do we care?
I really hope your story. I hope your story makes headway. Makes a difference.
Yeah, we don't. I just don't understand why a D or an R after somebody's name is some sort of get out of jail free card. Literally, let's enforce the goddamn law. Sorry.
it remains to be seen whether or not there are going to be any kind of criminal proceedings, criminal charges in relation to the revenge porn allegations. So we know that the woman's attorney was saying, you know, this is not going to be the last of this. So they're kind of intimating that there's going to be some kind of action. So we'll see.
Well, I assume you'll be following it, which we appreciate. You know, I'm not going to be with you guys for the next segment, but I have a question that I like to ask our guests. And as you and I'm looking at the time, but Neil, as you are an investigative reporter and you uncover very disturbing things all of the time, I'd like to know if there's anything right now in our world and our country that gives you hope.
Yeah, I mean, Melissa, I would say that. Friends, family, people's love for their community. You know, people have obviously people have different points of view about how that they can better society and better their community. But I do think that most people want to make the place that they live better. It's just how do we go about doing that? So those kind of things give me hope. Also, that you know, the resilience of people. There are so many people out there that you don't know what they're going through, and they are going through, you know, terrible like cancer or other kind of medical challenges or financial hardships, or people are working two or three jobs. the resilience of humanity and people, you know, that, oh, like, no matter what is going on in my life, I always kind of say, well, you know, there are people that are going through really tough situations, and they are persevering.
Right. You should run for mayor of Greenwich. Give me hope. That's what that's how mayors are every day.
Beautiful sentiment.
That was wonderful.
No, it's true.
We're going to have to break.
I think we have to break. Yeah. We have to break. And
Neil, would
you
come back on our show again sometime?
Yeah, I'd love to. I enjoyed it.
The end of most of our shows, we have Victoria Woodard from the Ben Book Club in Orange and from the Mermaid Book Club in Milford. And she comes on to talk about a book that's being banned, usually from the right, but sometimes from the left. And we don't believe in banning any newspapers or books. We want people to be free. If you care to stay on the line, I think you'll find it interesting, and you may have some words of wisdom for Victoria. But we're going to have to take a break. If you stay on the line, we'll include you in the conversation. Otherwise, I heard you say yes to coming back.
I am more than happy to come back. I actually have to hop, but okay. I'd love to come on again. And thanks so much, Bill and Melissa, for having me on.
Thank you.
Were keeping me on my toes, and appreciate the lively conversation on a Sunday morning.
As did you to me. Keeping me on my toes.
We've got to take a break. You'll be back with Bill on House the Line.
All right. Be back after these messages, folks.
It's time to wake up with Finch and Kane now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Well, thank you for staying tuned in here, and we welcome whatever research Melissa Kane is doing for the show on location. Stay tuned to future shows, and you'll find out what she's come up with. But our banned book section is here with Vic Woodard in the studio. A book with no pornography was banned for pornographic content with little offensive language or sexual themes, very rare within this book. And again, there are masters of the universe out there trying to say you can't read certain things, whether it's from the left or the right. Banning books is idiocy. And by the way, it always increases their sales. So if I wrote a book, I'd want it to be banned. Go ahead, Vic. Tell us about Eleanor and Park.
Yes.
I keep thinking of Eleanor and Franklin. You know?
No, different Eleanor. So Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell.
I can't imagine she's as good as the original.
I don't know. The Eleanor in this book is pretty
cool.
She's pretty great. Had a rough life. So Eleanor and Park by Rainbow Rowell it's again, a coming of age story.
Theme here, huh?
It is. I will say, you know, the reasons that were cited in the book challenges, I will read them to you, were pornographic content, offensive language, sexual themes, social issues like drug use, underage drinking, hints of sexual abuse, bullying, problematic interracial couple stereotypes, and fetishization.
Probably should be on the mandatory list of reading for Congressman Mills.
I do have some thoughts about that. Yeah. Race depiction, anti-black stereotypes.
Maybe he's a silent co-author.
I doubt it. No. Rainbow Rowell's amazing. And this book was banned and challenged in Oregon, Virginia, Minnesota, and Florida, which, you know, seems to be a little bit of a trend in and of itself, right? So this story...
You mean Florida, the state bought and sold by MAGA?
Yeah, Florida, the state where we banned
more books
than we
read. Poor Democrats
in
Florida, huh? You got to live with all that.
It is tough. So this book has, you know, it's won awards. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's a brilliant book that really highlights some of the challenges of underprivileged areas in particular and communities that are...
You mean like poverty, social dislocation, ICE raids.
Areas that are definitely below the poverty line that, you know, communities that have a lot of, quote, broken homes and broken families and things like that. So in this story, Eleanor and Park essentially meet each other and they are their first loves. And they both have their own very unique challenges.
It's charming.
It's a hard story from the perspective of there's a lot of, you know, childhood trauma, abusive themes, things like that. But the love that these two kids, because they're in high school, these two kids find, and the hope that they find in each other and the safety they find in each other was so beautiful.
It's almost like what Neil Vigdor said about what gives him hope.
It was, yeah. It definitely felt like that. You know, Eleanor is from a family where there are five children. She lives with her mother and her stepfather and her siblings. Her siblings and her, they all live in one room. The stepfather is not a good man. And the mom is clearly suffering from being in an abusive relationship.
Mm.
You know, Eleanor is...
Which could be positive for kids reading this to give them an idea that they're in an unhealthy relationship and they may need to try to seek help.
Yeah,
I mean, have a positive.
I for sure saw some undertones of, you know, my own family history in here growing up and some parental figures who were not great people.
So had you read this book as a kid, it might have given you more clarity at an earlier age.
You know, and I probably would.
Because kids always want to forgive their parents of all their
wrongdoings.
They do.
And one of the things... You know, we talked about this book club on Monday at our band book club at Mermaid Books in Milford. And we talked about this book quite a bit.
That's an unsolicited plug.
Yeah, we love Mermaid Books.
Mermaid Books in Milford. Thank you for
get out there
carrying the torch for all of us readers.
Yeah, get out there. Kristen, the owner, is wonderful.
I'll have to have her on the show someday.
Yes. And I know there
better be careful. Maybe I'll replace. You know.
Oh, never. There was quite a... an influx of people after the No Kings rally in Milford that actually stopped into the store. So we love to see that as well.
The record store. What's the record store's name?
I don't know the name.
Vinyl
of the
something. Anyway, it was great. Bought a couple albums.
But we talked about this book on Monday at our band book club. And, you know, the overwhelming thought there was, first of all, very positive reviews from the group. Everybody was kind of between a 4 and 5 star, which is so nice to see that everybody really enjoyed this, even if it wouldn't have been something they would pick up on their own necessarily. But everybody kind of got a little bit of a different thing from this book. One of the things that I can say with wholehearted enthusiasm is absolutely nobody in the room thought this book should be banned, and nobody was able to find the pornography in it. So that was a fun challenge. There is some
really, when
language.
You get down to it, the reason why we do this is there is no ever good reason to ban a book.
No, there's not. No. And we talked about
that. Oh, is it Stokely Carmichael? Who wrote Burn This Book? I forget who it was.
Oh, don't quiz me on authors. I'm not good at that.
Oh, by the way, the music store is called Static. Static Eric Records. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. I've never been in there. I should pop in. But we did. We talked about this book. And one of the things is, you know, we had educators in the room. We had, you know, medical personnel. We had people kind of from all different walks of life and parents and grandparents and whatever. And everybody's common theme was there's no reason to ban
you know,
book.
I'm watching you talk about this. I'm thinking this is like Yelp for books.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, these people out there, these bad people, they're bad people. They want to tell you what to read. That is makes a person a bad person if they want to tell me what I can read. Sorry. I just think you're a bad person if you want to do that.
Yeah, there's no reason for it.
No. And now you have a group of other peers saying, here's what's really in the book. Take a look if you want or not. You're free. Yeah. You're free to pick up the book or put it down.
Yeah.
It's Yelp for books.
It's really, I think when it comes down to the crux of the matter is, these, and I say it here every time, I've said it in every book club that I've been a part of, I say it to all of my book friends in various communities, there is no reason for book banning. I don't
unless you want to increase your sales.
Well, that doesn't even necessarily work, because what happens is there's kind of self-censorship where books, bookstores and libraries will stop carrying books.
They don't want to fight.
Well, they don't want to fight, or because they're trying to be proactive, right? And not have the issues, or there's like a whole litany of reasons, but it actually does hurt authors. It
hurts
authors. But
it's kind of like emblematic of what's going on in society. You know, shut down law firms you don't agree with.
Yeah.
Shut down newspapers you don't agree with. Shut down rallies you don't agree with.
It's hard.
No, listen. Just listen.
Yeah.
Read.
Well, and
that's the way we used to be. Listen, read, have free speech, and debate, and compromise.
If we want more empathetic humans in the future, they need to read stories that expose the hard truths of life and get more visibility into the things that they need to think about. My perspective, I think this book is absolutely appropriate for anybody in high school. I would say depending on your own personal child, maybe late middle school, there are some tough themes. There is no outright sex in this book. There are, you know, sexual activities. It's not descriptive. There is a lot of vulgarity. There is racism. There is combating of racism. There's a lot of bullying. There's a lot of childhood trauma and things like that. But I think it's really important to see these things
so
and know how to identify them.
So just in conclusion, let me ask you, as a mom of two young kids, which you've said that on the show many times, would this make your children, if they read it at an age-appropriate level, come to you and have meaningful conversations about the challenges of growing up?
Yeah, and I also think that,
it's a parental aid.
It is, it opens the door for conversations you might not want to start, but I think it also opens the door for kids who don't know where to get help to get the help.
And that wraps up another one short hour, abbreviated by many news and ads. But here we have another day. Thank you to Connoisseur Media. Please join us next weekend on WICC 600 AM and 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening, and wake up, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday on the radio.